The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 18 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Maggie McDonald. Here are today's headlines. New details on Quebec's vaccine mandates, new plans to fight the nursing shortage, and a big changes for a downtown neighborhood. The mandatory vaccine mandate will be going into effect this Friday, affecting many workers in the healthcare sector, including nurses and pharmacists. Anthony Issa has been looking into how this might affect services. Anthony, the healthcare minister, is actually talking about this right now.
Yes, actually. He's currently doing his point de presse on the mandatory vaccine mandate, and this is what he has to say.
Qui sont vaccinés, puis en fait, qui sont au front depuis plusieurs mois. Et je crois que si on continue comme ça, on va foncer dans un mur.
How are pharmacies going to be affected?
Well, I spoke with Monsieur Dubuc, the president of the Association of Infirmiers and Infirmières in Quebec, and he is a little concerned, but surprisingly not that much. What they forget to mention is that the mandate only affects pharmacists specifically who work with the public. So I think he said more or less there's maybe 200 people who might be let go. And this is what he had to say.
We have a shortage of pharmacists. We think that's going to be worse for our pharmacy assistants. So we're going to have, you know, everybody to be a little bit more patient at the pharmacy because we're probably missing staff a little bit.
Will migrant workers help counter shortages in the healthcare and pharmacies?
Well, Mr. Zbik thought it wouldn't be too bad and we would be able to have migrant workers work in, let's say, a year's time, but we also spoke with Mr. Egbert Gay, and he wasn't as pleased with how they were introducing migrant workers. He thinks that they should be treated with more respect.
Cherry pick, but it doesn't always work, right? It does not always work, you know, and you have to sometimes provide a climate for immigrants and for people to come and work and fatigue.
So yeah, between the two, it's mostly going to be hitting the nursing sector more. But for pharmacies, even though there might be, clients might be waiting a bit longer, the service shouldn't be hitting a wall anytime soon.
Thank you, Anthony. Over 4,000 positions are vacant and soon to be many more come Friday. Quebec is looking overseas to fill position in the healthcare sector. Peter Vryonis has been looking into the story for us.
As for what can be done for the shortages, more accommodating hours would be a start. These healthcare workers are overworked and have been burnt out as a result of the pandemic. The salary increase may also play a factor, but that does not make up for the emotional strain the job can have on you. Bernard Bolduc of the Nurses Association said the following.
Sees that in English hospitals in Quebec, their work conditions seems to be a little bit better, especially about schedules. So they do 12-hour shifts instead of 8-hour shifts. My youngest daughter is a nurse, so I hear about that quite a bit. So the money is an incentive, but it's not going to be enough. We have to make sure that work organization is improved, so that everybody, can have a nice equilibrium between your personal life and work life.
With the shortages, Quebec is looking elsewhere to fill those vacant positions, particularly in Europe. Egbert Gay, a spokesperson for the Black community in Montreal, could not help but feel the non-status immigrants getting slighted back home.
They did not make non-status immigrants here in Quebec a priority. Instead, they choose to look overseas and look in places where the hue of the immigrants that they want is a little different.
One thing is for sure, the healthcare sector is in dire need of help. The problem will only worsen come Friday being that the vaccine mandate will take full effect. For Concordia News, I'm Peter Vriones.
After being closed since March 2020, the U.S. officials announced the reopening of the land border for fully vaccinated Canadians in early November. The exact date has not been determined yet, since the officials are still going over the details. They say that travelers will be asked about their vaccination status, but will only be asked for proof if sent for a secondary screening. Men make over $7,000 more than women on average, according to a new study by Deloitte. The wage gap between men and women is still an issue, although the numbers show that pay equity will be very beneficial. Mackenzie Sanche is live with us to talk about it. Mackenzie, what are the biggest impacts of the wage gap right now?
Well, what Deloitte says right now with this study, they estimate that tax revenues would increase by $2.6 billion if only there was pay equity. Raising salaries would also mean an increase of $130 million that would go into welfare and child benefits. That's a lot of money that is being lost in the salary gap, according to the study.
So why is the wage gap still an issue today?
Women are actually only considered people since 1929, and this is still an issue almost 100 years later. I actually spoke to Stefania Virali, who is the co-CEO of Women of Influence, and she says that the issue should have been solved a long time ago, and she really thinks that it's a problem in the mindset and in the system.
When women try and negotiate their salaries, and it's shown that women now try and negotiate their salaries as much as men, they are much less likely to be successful. Because when a woman tries to speak out and advocate for herself, it is interpreted in a much different way because it's considered not a womanly thing to do.
How would pay equity benefit the economy?
Pay equity definitely would motivate people a lot more, women a lot more, and it would certainly increase productivity as well. It would increase the household revenue too, and this is good because the household expenses are 57% of the Canadian GDP, which is a lot of money that goes straight into our country and would be very, very good for our economy. Virali, however, told me that she doesn't believe these arguments are enough. This case, this business case, as she calls it, has existed so long, and she really thinks it's just a mindset issue because these economical arguments are not enough to convince people.
Thank you, Mackenzie. A 46-year-old man is in critical condition after he was stabbed near the Old Brewery Mission late last night. Police were called on scene at 10:30 on the corner of Clark Street and Saint Laurent Boulevard. Police arrested a 26-year-old suspect and are interviewing witnesses. The investigation is still ongoing. Developers are breaking ground on the old Radio Canada site today. The $800 million project will have 2,000 housing units that are sure to have effects on the surrounding neighborhood. Talia Clayot is live on site with the story. Talia, what's it like down there?
So as of right now, there's just a whole lot of dirt. I'm on the site of the old Radio Canada building on René Lévesque and Wolfe. From here, I can see the CBC Tower that will also be refurbished as part of this project. Employees have moved already into a new building a few minutes away on René Lévesque and Papineau.
What are people in the neighborhood saying about the project?
Well, with 2,000 new condos, businesses are really excited to welcome new residents. Pierre-Éric Barbier works at Pudding Café, which is just minutes from the site, and he's looking forward to a lot more traffic.
I think the new building at Radio-Canada is going to be good news for the neighborhood because more people to the neighborhood, more money to the neighborhood.
When can we expect the project to be done?
So What we're talking about right now is phase one of the project, which is 260 condos valued at $80 million. And that's slated for delivery in summer 2023.
Thank you, Talia. A poll was done to see what Canadians think about Facebook. 40% of respondents said they have a negative opinion of Facebook. Most of them think Facebook helped the spread of hate speeches and misinformation. On the other side, a little over 50% of respondents said that it is an important tool for sharing information and for freedom of information. Half of the respondents said that Facebook should have more rules or that it should be taken down. Lots happening in sports today. A star for the Brooklyn Nets won't be able to play for or practice. The Seattle Kraken have played their first NHL game. And in the NFL, the head coach of the Las Vegas has resigned. Nadia Trudel joins us now with all our sports news.
Gruden released the following statement, I quote, "I resigned as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anyone."
John Gruden, the head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders, resigned on Monday after resurfaced emails got him in some hot water. This all started on Friday when the Wall Street Journal reported that Gruden had been using racially insensitive language to describe NFL Players Association Executive Director Damora Smith in a 2011 email. Then on Monday, the New York Times found emails where Gruden was critical of female referees, openly gay players being drafted, and those who took a knee in protest during the national anthem. Gruden started coaching the Raiders at the beginning of the 2018 season.
Walking in, shot, glove save, loose score! Ryan Donato has the first goal in Seattle Kraken history.
Rookie hockey team, the Seattle Kraken, lost their first ever game last night 4-3 against the Vegas Golden Knights. Ryan Donato scored the first goal in Kraken history. The Kraken are the first professional hockey team to play in Seattle since the Seattle Totems played their last game in 1975, and the first Seattle hockey team to compete for the Stanley Cup since the Seattle Metropolitans, who won the Cup in 1917 and disbanded in 1924. In other hockey news, the Habs are playing their first game of the season tonight against the Toronto Leafs.
Nets running the floor hard. Durant, the bounce, leads Irving. Oh, the English! He put it high off the window!
29-year-old Brooklyn Nets player Kyrie Irving won't be able to play or practice with the team for the foreseeable future because of his vaccination status. The team's general manager, Sean Marks, confirmed that Irving won't be allowed to play until he can fully participate. Irving isn't able to play in the Nets' home games at Barclays Center due to the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Nets head coach Steve Nash said that Kyrie made a personal choice and that they respect that. Irving is a seven-time All-Star who was named Rookie of the Year in 2011.
Thank you, Nadia. William Shatner, the actor behind Captain Kirk and Star Trek, will be part of the Blue Origin's second passenger flight to space today. William Shatner is now 90 years old and will be the oldest man to go in space. Jeff Bezos' space travel company flight was planned for yesterday, but had to be reported today because of the weather. It's partially sunny this morning, but there should be some showers this afternoon. As for the rest of the week, the sky should clear up tomorrow, but you should expect some rain during the weekend, with a high of 20 degrees on Friday and Saturday. The temperature will get colder on Sunday with a high of only 14 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Maggie McDonald.